It's good to see everybody here this morning. I have to say that I have a bit of a cold today. I woke up, I felt pretty good last night when I went to bed. I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning with laryngitis, and I was thinking that's, or feeling like I was getting it. I thought that's not good because Mark had called me a little bit earlier asking me if I'd take his class, and so had 45 extra minutes of speaking. Not quite that, thanks to so many of you who helped with the comments on the class, which I truly appreciate. And then 273 or whatever song that was just now nearly did me in. So if I don't make it all the way through, y'all have Mark and Dave to thank, and I know you will. So I know y'all appreciate that. Appreciate the song service this morning as well. This is a lesson I was going to do 2 weeks ago, but I ended up getting called to fill in on another class, and I wanted to talk about it during the class time, and I hated to put it together so close together. So I taught it on a Wednesday night, but I really hate to not present this on a Sunday morning because I think it's an important topic. And so I want to talk about it this morning, and it's essentially a lesson on the thief on the cross. I suppose as far as difficult teachings that we've heard through the years, the teaching on the thief on the cross may be one of the most difficult, and it shouldn't be. As a matter of fact, when you read the account of the thief on the cross, it's very much cut and dried, but people have taken this as a, I don't know if you want to use the word excuse or as a text to suggest that baptism is not necessary, and perhaps repentance is not necessary either, but certainly with baptism. And so let's read this account of the thief on the cross. We're going to look at Luke chapter 23 to get that account. If I have to take a sip of water every now and again, I don't mean to be disrespectful. I don't like to do that, but that may be the only way I can keep my voice going for a little bit this morning. There was a notice written above him which reads, "This is the King of Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you're under the same sentence. We are punished justly for what we are getting. We are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." And again, this is a text that many have used to say that baptism is somehow unnecessary. And so I wanted to look at that. Is that true? Because if it is true, this is what we want to teach, is it not? We want to make sure that we are teaching the truth as best we can. But this is a particular instance. The thief was on the cross. He did ask Jesus to remember him, and Jesus told him, "You'll be with me in paradise today." In other words, he was going to be saved. So was the thief on the cross baptized? And so let's look at that for a moment. First of all, as far as baptism was concerned, there was only one baptism that was in order at this time, and that was John's baptism. John's baptism, we are told, was a baptism of repentance unto forgiveness of sins. And so certainly we have John the Baptist who is preparing a way for Christ. He was baptizing people. In fact, Christ was baptized not to have his sins removed, but in order to fulfill all righteousness. But again, does this text indicate that we don't need to be baptized? And so just think about what we're looking at here. In Luke chapter 23, since Jesus is hanging on the cross, he's not yet died. We are told that the old law with its commandments was nailed to the cross. So he's still not died. So the old law is in effect. We don't have we don't have any commands yet to be baptized into Christ, as we will notice in just a moment. But the other thing is, do we know whether or not the thief on the cross was baptized under John's baptism? And the answer is, of course, we don't know that. We're not told. There's no way to know that. There will be people who will indicate that they know it, but they just simply cannot. We're not told anything about him other than this instance on the cross. But what do we see on the cross? We see several things. First of all, the criminal who is hurling insults said to Jesus, "If you're the Christ." Well, the word Christ is very specific. It's the same word for Messiah. He's talking about the Savior that they were looking for, that the Jewish people were looking for. And so he said, if you're that person, if you're the Christ, if you're the Savior, save yourself and us. And so the other criminal at that point said, don't you fear God? So we see this criminal has an understanding of the fear of God. We don't know how good of an understanding it is, but we do understand that he uses a term that's very specific to Scripture and is used over and over within Scripture. And he uses this term, the scriptural term, don't you fear God, to the one who was mocking Jesus. And then he pointed out, we're under the same sentence. And he says, we're being punished justly. So there is an understanding as far as his being on the cross that they ought to be there. We are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And so we have this understanding of the thief on the cross that's about to be saved, who says to the other thief, don't you fear God? But then he says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Well, the kingdom is another specific teaching of the Old Testament. They were looking forward to the kingdom. Remember what John the Baptist came preaching? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, we don't know whether this thief on the cross had learned that before his deeds took him to the cross, or if he learned it during that time. Remember, he is hanging on the cross for 6 hours beside Jesus. 3 hours before the darkness descended and 3 hours after. We have conversations. This is one of them between the thieves and Jesus that are recorded. But we don't know what all was said during that 6 hours. It very well could have been that Jesus taught him about the kingdom of God. We don't know. It may be that he just saw that big sign over Jesus's head that said, this is the king of the Jews. And so he thought, well, if he's the king, he's got a kingdom. So remember me in your kingdom. He may have heard the things that people were talking to Jesus about from the base of the cross. We just don't know. As a matter of fact, when it comes down to it, we don't know a lot about the thief on the cross, other than the fact that he used some scriptural terms. He did seem to have an understanding of the kingdom. He seemed to have some understanding of salvation. But again, does this preclude the idea that since the thief on the cross was not baptized as we are baptized, that baptism is not necessary? And of course, the answer to that is no. How could it? It was a different dispensation. We're commanded to be baptized into Christ's death. As a matter of fact, if you have your Bibles and would like to turn over to Romans chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 1. Romans chapter 6 is probably written somewhere 25 to 30 years after the cross. And so Paul is talking to a group of people who are maybe at some point indicating that sin is okay because of grace. And so Paul says this, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? And this is the part that's important for us. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now, let me go back and ask the question. Is that even a reasonable argument then to use? Why should we be baptized? The thief on the cross wasn't baptized. The answer is that we are baptized into Christ's death. Christ hadn't died when the thief on the cross was there. Now, the reason that I think this is significant, well, there's a lot of reasons it's significant. Obviously, the first and foremost is because it's scriptural. But I've had two different preachers from two different denominations talk to me about this. And they both had the conversation and said something along the lines of, well, we teach that baptism is not necessary because the thief on the cross wasn't baptized. And I asked both of them in just about the exact same way. I've always wondered about why you teach that. The thief on the cross couldn't have been baptized into his death. We're commanded to be baptized into Christ's death. What would that have to do with it? And neither one of them even ventured an answer. Now let me ask you this. If you were wanting to prove a point, if you were studied within the Scripture, if you were convinced of a scriptural matter, wouldn't you want to stop and try and prove this point? But neither did. Both of them went home. They didn't go home mad. I don't want to give you that indication at all. They both just said they had to go. I thought, well, that's probably a convenient way to stop a conversation. But I can tell you this. When they indicated that baptism was not necessary, I had some scripture that I thought was pertinent to what we were talking about. When they said that baptism was not necessary, they had no scripture that they could share beyond this point. And once this point was shown for what it was, they left. And I want to say again, I am completely sincere on this. If you can show me where baptism or repentance or any other part of the plan of salvation is not necessary, show it to me. I will preach on it. I will, matter of fact, I won't just preach on it. I'll find out everybody who is here today and I'll call you up and I'll tell you I was wrong. I cannot think of anything worse than to try and be thought of being right when you're wrong on the plan of salvation. But again, let's read Romans chapter 6 and continue going as we look at this. Don't you know, verse 3, all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. If we've been united like him in his death, what's the united like him? Being baptized into his death. What's the word if mean? It's a qualifier. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. We understand full well that baptism is not the complete plan of salvation. To teach baptism as being all there is to salvation would be to ignore God's grace. It would be to ignore the blood of Christ, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, the gospel. It would be to ignore the passages that discuss that belief saves us and faith. And there's a little bit of a difference sometimes the way those two words are used. Saves us. Repentance saves us. We see all these things save us, but we're also told that baptism saves us. And so the question is, why would we take any one of these things out? And the other question is, can we not see the danger in doing so? Is it not something that could lead people to their death? What is baptism for? Well, let's go on and look at the way that the Apostle Paul, whose name was Saul, he was Saul of Tarsus, his name was not changed to Paul yet, but in Acts chapter 9, let's just point out that Saul was a Jew at this point, and he has been persecuting the church, Christ's church. And so in verse 1 of Acts chapter 9, he says this, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do.'" I don't know if you've ever done anything that you are certain was right to find out that it was wrong and were called on it, and you realized all of a sudden, I've been wrong all this time. Saul was absolutely convinced. Saul, who was a Pharisee, Saul, who was a student of the Scripture, Saul, who believed that there would be a Messiah coming, did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. He didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He was so firm in that conviction that he was having Christians arrested. There was a hope in him that he could either have them blaspheme and deny Christ or that they would be put to death. And that's what Saul had been doing for quite some time. Saul is so convinced that Jesus is not the Son of God, he seems to have devoted the better part of his life to persecuting Christians because he was convinced this was something that was not right. And then he sees Jesus in a vision. He is knocked to his knees. He is struck blind. He hears the voice. He realizes for a fact Jesus really is the Son of God. If you've ever done something that you have known for a fact is wrong, that you felt was right at the time, and then it was brought to your attention, You know how he felt. I imagine he thought that he was about to be destroyed. But when he found out, when he asked, "Who are you?" and Jesus said, "I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting," Jesus immediately gave Saul an opportunity of salvation. "Now get up and go into the city. You'll be told what you must do." Underline that in your mind. Must do. You will be told what you must do. This is what Jesus, the Son of God, said. You'll be told what you must do. In verse 7, the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they didn't hear anyone. Saul did not see anyone. But Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. I imagine this was a time of soul searching, don't you? 3 days to think about what he had done. 3 days to realize that those he was who he thought were blasphemers, those who said Jesus was the Son of God, were actually right, and he was guilty of their blood. And so he's thinking about all this, I'm sure, and many other things during these 3 days. Well, in verse 10 it says, "In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, 'Ananias?' 'Yes, Lord,' he answered. The Lord told him, 'Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying.'" I think this is significant. He is praying. Because if you could pray for salvation, don't you think that Paul would have been saved at this point? Don't you also think that Paul would have had his sins forgiven at this point? If you could do that just by praying before being baptized into Christ. This is a fair question that needs to be answered. Verse 12, "In a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him and restore his sight. 'Lord,' Ananias answered, 'I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he's come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings, before the people of Israel. I'll show him how much he must suffer for my name.' Then Ananias went into the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see. He got up and was baptized." Now, let me ask you this. Why was he baptized? The reason that people in the modern religionist world give for being baptized, if they deny it's part of salvation, is this. They say it is an outward demonstration of an inward manifestation. In other words, they say it is just purely symbolic. It's something that's not necessary, but there you have it. It just shows that you've been saved. So let's look at that. Is that what the Scripture says? Can we know why Saul was baptized? And the answer is yes, because he gives this account before the Jews in Acts chapter 22. And so let's turn over to Acts chapter 22 and look at Saul's account of this. He's talking to the Jews, and they want to know why he has turned from Judaism. They want to know why he has been preaching Christ. And so he just tells them very honestly. And in verse 12 of Acts chapter 22, he talks about this event that occurred on the road to Damascus. And in verse 12, he says, "A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law, highly respected by all the Jews living there. And he stood beside me and said, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' At that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, 'The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear the words from his mouth. And you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard.'" And now notice this part, because remember, Jesus told Saul to go into Damascus. He would be told what he must do. And listen to what Ananias tells him. Verse 16. "And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized." Well, why is he getting baptized? Is he getting baptized to have an outward demonstration of an inward manifestation? Can you see that anywhere in the Scriptures that that's what it says? Or do we even have to wonder? And the answer is we certainly don't have to wonder, because he tells them why. Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away. The baptism was to wash his sins away. The baptism was no good if he didn't believe in Jesus. We understand that. The baptism was no good if he didn't repent of his sins. We understand that from other scripture. But the baptism was to wash his sins away. And he was to do that while he was calling on his name. Remember that perhaps for tonight, because that's going to be an important factor. But again, what do we see? We have the argument the thief on the cross wasn't baptized, and therefore we don't need to be baptized. And the answer, of course, to that is the thief on the cross was not commanded to be baptized into Christ's death yet, because Christ had not yet died. He couldn't have been baptized in the same way we were. Could he have been baptized under John the Baptist's baptism? And the answer is, of course, he could have. He may have, may not have. That's an absolutely moot point. Matters not one bit to the conversation. But again, then we come to this, then what is baptism for? And we are told very plainly in Scriptures that baptism is to have your sins washed away. Can you find any Scripture that would indicate anything else? And again, if you can, I'd like to see it. I sincerely would. Because I think it's important that we preach the Bible's truths. Because we're not trying to win religious arguments. What we are trying to do is we're trying to find out what the Word of God is and then to do it. The question is, are we honest enough to do that? The invitation's open. If you're ready to become a Christian today, we'd love to help you with that. Maybe that you need the prayers of the congregation. But if there's anything we can do for you, won't you come forward and let us know while we stand and sing.